And welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you.
I'm talking to our man Edwin here.
I know.
He is.
The music was running out. I had to jump in.
He is the Santa Claus of Mercedes-Benz of Music City.
He is.
These offices, by the way, this place, wow, this place is nice. The offices are all glass, so I had to run to the restroom. And by the way, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. I had to run to the restroom when I first got here in a morning coffee. It does that.
Yeah.
And I went right by his office, and I just kept staring. And he's in there, and he's like, God, he's probably going, well, who's this creeper sitting here staring into my office? It's because, man, his office is just –
he's got the stuff.
He's got the goods in that office. I mean, the goods. And by the way, Edwin came over here and said, if you'll bring some goods, we'll tell you why we're here today. Edwin may hook you up. So we'll get to that in just a moment. So I go to the restroom, and I've got to figure out how they do this, because I want this for my house. The mirror in front of the sink, is in the middle of it, is got a television.
TV?
It's got a TV.
I've seen
I know it's probably on the other side. It's a projector. I don't know how they do it.
It's a two-way mirror. Or it's a one-way mirror. You know how, like, you watch the cop shows and there's the interrogation room?
Yes, right.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. So you could put it behind the glass.
Right, right.
And it goes through.
It's, you know, fantastic.
That's what it is.
How do I get that in my house? In my bathroom? A television in the middle of the mirror?
I don't think it would be that hard to do.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it would be that hard.
Well, I mean, but you've got to have a wall. I mean, most of your walls are to the outside in the bathroom. So
true. You would have to find a wall to cut a hole in to put the TV and then mount the glass.
Yeah, I don't know. That's way above.
It seems like it's a little more trouble than it's worth, but
yeah. But man, is it awesome! It is awesome. But we are here at Mercedes-Benz of Music City. This place is fantastic. It is beautiful. The showroom is beautiful, and we're asking for your help. You've heard us talk with Pat Sperduto, and we would love for you to be able to bring some stuff by and help us out on Christmas morning, because we're going to be trying to help some folks out who can't help themselves downtown on Christmas morning. And if you've got, now this year you've heard Pat talk about, we probably should have Pat on right now. This would be a good time. Elijah, if you could go on and just call Pat right now real quick. Let's just go on and set the tone. All right, now we'll check in with him a little bit later as well, but see if you can get Pat on the phone right now. But we need new items because of, you know, situation. We're going to be downtown. New socks, new hats, gloves, anything warm, coats, larger sizes, sweatshirts.
Yep.
Preferably darker colors. Anything like that. If you could drop at 734 Envious Lane, this is where we're going to be doing our show today for the next 4 hours.
It's pretty much right off of I-40. It's very easy to get to.
Yeah, it's right here. Right off.
Drive out towards the airport, get off at Briley.
Briley South.
And you're right there.
Briley South, first exit.
Yeah. 215A, I think it is.
I wasn't going to go there.
It's exit 215.
Actually, I think it's C.
Is it C?
I think so. Briley South, I think is – see, I don't know. I wish you wouldn't have said that because I don't
Briley
know.
Briley Parkway is the
first
exit.
One. It's Briley exit. South. Remember, that's the key word,
and
just, South.
And also remember, Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Because if you put Mercedes-Benz of Nashville, you go to a different location.
Yes. So Mercedes-Benz
Music City. Think
of
Music City,
right off the exit. You cannot miss it. This place is fantastic. And like I said, if you can pop in here in the next 4 hours – and bring some items that we're asking help for, our man Edwin, he may come out of his office and hand you a pretty cool little thing. I'm just telling you, he's the Santa Claus here. Go look at his office during the break. It's glass.
It's stacked.
And it's stacked with Titans,
stuff.
Predators, Alabama.
Now, Darren,
I mean, he's got the goods.
Were you in the pose that the guy, I don't know who he's got in the window there,
Yeah, that got
was
me.
Was that you?
That got me earlier.
Look straight ahead. Was that you looking
into
his office?
He took a picture of me. He could probably change that picture out because that's what I was doing.
You could superimpose your
head.
That's
exactly what I was doing, yeah. I really wasn't even trying to hide it. I got drawn to his office, and I was like, whoa, look at this stuff. Yes.
That's a beautiful place.
It is.
I think we have
beautiful cars.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, I have not pulled up the phone screener yet. Is Pat Sperduto on the line with us?
He sure is.
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
Pat, you need to come down here to Mercedes-Benz of Music City, man. This place is fantastic.
I'm going to make a run over there, actually.
Holy moly.
I have to go to the dentist today, so I figured I'll come there before the dentist.
Whew. Well, you know, we'll talk to you a little bit later in the show as well, but, you know, this will be a good time to go on and set the tone for the next 4 hours. Our man, Edwin, we've been talking about him. His office is the goodie bag shop, and he came over to us and said, hey, if people are going to stop by, you know, just don't be surprised. He's right here. He called himself the greeter, the Walmart greeter. He said he may greet you with a really cool prize for coming down here and helping us. So I'm just that out there. Those are not my words. Those are his. So tell everybody what we're looking for in the next 4 hours.
We are looking for large or greater sized sweatshirts. They can be everything, because of COVID, everything has to be new, which is kind of out of the norm for us. In the past, we just took everything that we could, but under the circumstances, I pray that everybody understands. We're just trying to do what's best for our city, and we're gonna ask you to bring oversized, go and buy oversized sweatshirts, larger or greater sized. It can be anything. I keep saying it can be a misprint. It can be a odd color that nobody buys. It doesn't matter. We're just looking for oversized sweatshirts. We are looking for socks. They have to be new, either packaged or with a clip on it. Gloves, preferably larger size gloves, and of course knit hats. And I know everybody's saying, "Well, Christmas is going to be 72 degrees." Yes, it is, and that's great, because what that'll do is that'll bring out more people who are in need.
Yes.
And Yogi's Pizzeria in Creve Hall is going to provide food, so we're going to be able to give them food and give them something that they can hold on to for Christmas, that in a few days, when it does get really cold, they're going to be able to at least make themselves a little bit more comfortable. And Mercedes-Benz of Music City, we cannot thank you enough. It's so cool that they got involved, and of course Neighbors took care of us the last two Saturdays. We've been fortunate, and 102.5 The Game has been a savior the last 5-6 years that you all have been involved. And of course Willie, you know how much I love you and your family, and Darren, same with you, and Lauren, and everybody's been great, and we are so grateful to everybody that's been involved in making Christmas a little bit better.
So once again, that list for people listening that may be traveling sometime in the next 4 hours out by the airport, 734 Envious Lane is where we are at Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Once again, that list of what we're looking for, Pat, is what?
Large sweatshirts. They have to be new. Gloves, preferably bigger sizes, but we'll take, as long as they're new, we'll take it. Socks, they have to be new, and knit hats have to be new. And we are going to put everything that you drop off to use. We are going to be able to make somebody's day a little bit better on Christmas, and we thank you. And it should be something that you should feel good about, too.
Pat, thank you for setting the tone, and we'll check in with you a little bit later, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Pat Sperduto, our buddy. He's the one who's been leading this charge for about 25 years in this city.
You know what I just thought of that would be cool is if somebody, like if he could reach out to, you know, somebody within the NFL, and somebody showed up with a box full of, like, you know, the loser of the Super Bowl or the loser of a championship game with them.
It's like old sweatshirts.
I mean, well, honestly, Chiefs 2021.
I wasn't going to bring that up with him.
It's funny that you said that, because yesterday, I was actually going to use that line, and I was like, you know, Pat is the kind that loves that, but I'm like, man, we're trying to do something good. Like, this is probably not the time to use a line like that, so I didn't say it. But I was going to say, hey, do you have any, like, Super Bowl champs?
Yeah.
2021? Well, so, or what was last year? Super Bowl what?
Yeah, 53?
Yeah. Wow, I've lost track of.
So my a friend of mine that I went to high school with, her dad worked for the company that did all the apparel, that did all the super, you know, the Super Bowl stuff. And so in his closet, he had a Tennessee Titans Super Bowl 34 champions. Like, he had the shirt.
Really?
That what it would have been. So that's what made me think of that, of, you know, because usually they send that stuff, you know, off to two things like this, you know, to charities and everything.
Well, there is a little hidden secret that I've told you guys that we can't talk about on the air, but there is a hidden secret that's going to help out a lot this year, and I think it's going to be something that we will be able to talk about next year, but it's something along those lines.
Okay.
Something like that. That privately has been done because of this, but we can't talk about it.
So we won't.
But we still need your help. We really do. We really, really do. So this is where we are today until 2 o'clock, 734 Envious Lane, Mercedes-Benz of Music City. This place is fantastic, and we would love for you to pop in here and help out. We would really appreciate it. We've got a tent right out front. You cannot miss it. I've got the game vans.
Yeah, our man Junie's out there.
Out there at the tent. We've got two game vans you can't miss, and it's right there in front. I mean, you just literally could pull up and roll down your window and hand something to him. I mean, you don't even have to get out of your car.
Jeff Kolb's here. He's going to go be unloading cars later.
If you want to pop the trunk open, Jeff Kolb will unload your trunk. We'll put him to work. He seems very relaxed over here.
Well, he's not here. Here's the thing.
I was going to say, he's in the wood chair. You got these two, like, massage chairs.
Which, why aren't we doing the show from those chairs?
I don't know. Chase, I'll look at you and ask that question. Why?
Well, that's true. That is my
call.
Like,
why
now,
are
right?
you asking that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Ladarius, come on, man. Let's get this moved over here.
All right, let's come back. We'll talk with Paul. Hey, Paul. Paul Feinbaum next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Mercedes-Benz of Music City today. And we've been telling you why we're here to bring coats and hats and everything to help the homeless. But we say hello now to Paul Feinbaum, the SEC Network and ESPN. Paul, how you doing?
I am doing great, guys. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, always good to talk to you. So we're kind of in that, I guess, the bowl season has started. We're all watching these bowl games, or, you know, using them as background noise, however you want to put it. But all eyes are going to be on the college football playoff coming up here in just a few weeks. But something that I wanted to bring up with you that we've talked to some different coaches about is how they're adjusting to this this new age of college football. We just had the national signing day, the early signing period, NIL, the transfer portal, and the coaches have been pretty honest with us. Do you feel like with coaches you talk to that you're getting that true sense of how they feel about the uncertainty and the fact that there is, I guess, kind of the wild, wild west feel still with NIL and the transfer portal?
Yes, and you know, it started really on signing day with Jimbo Fisher, who told us that, you know, NIL has been going around for a long time. It just wasn't legal. And, yeah, I think coaches are being more honest because they really don't know how to deal with it. I mean, there's so many negative things happening. You guys are seeing it every day with players opting out. I mean, really good players who were the star of the team, not playing in bowl games. So, and I find a disconnect as well. In addition to NIL, in addition to the portal and all the things that we talk about ad nauseum, you know, the season ends on that championship Saturday, and we have the announcement on Sunday, and it just kind of hangs in it hangs in suspended air for a couple of weeks. And guys, I mean, I maybe the NFL has dominated because there was two Monday night games and a couple of Tuesday night games, but I'm finding it harder to just to put on these meaningless bowl games with you know, San Antonio and San Diego State, games that, unless you're betting, I can't imagine having much interest in.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. You just nailed it right there. I mean, it's, I think gambling, that aspect is keeping a lot of these alive, and you know, the money that I guess some of these bowl games bring in. But I don't see them going away unless they figure out some sort of regular season component to use them and to make that revenue.
Well, the issue is the playoff, and you know, we got, you know, 6 months ago we were on the brink of a 12-team playoff in 2 years, and that blew up. And I mean, to me, that's the answer. You know, like it or not, right or wrong, and I know all these are issues that will continue to be debated. The idea of starting that playoff within a week of the first weekend in December, to me, keeps the momentum going. And I think ultimately that's the problem with college football, is you have to try to remember when's the next really important game. Sometime next week, I mean, there's some good bowl games. I mean, there's a decent game tonight. But if you're in contention, how do you keep, you know, three? I mean, can you? I mean, we see it enough in the NFL when, you know, the records of teams that have a bye week during the first round. It's kind of squirrely, and it's three times as bad here.
Paul, with some of these bowl games and the star players that bag out because they want to protect their draft stock and don't get hurt and all that stuff, and I get it. I mean, I certainly get that side, but then you have the team side, the coach's side, finish what you started. It's still a game. It's still something we are a part of. Could you see NIL playing a factor in that? Like, what I mean is a player signs a deal, and part of the deal is you have to play all the games that your team is in, including a bowl game. Could you see that being a thing in the future?
Yeah, if certain companies, you know, like the ones that advertise during bowl season, stipulated. But, listen, some NIL deals are national. Most are local. It's possible. But like the running back from Missouri tonight, he's playing on a 6-6 team. He's got a good draft position. He's not helping it tonight, and I don't think you can make an argument that playing in that bowl game really helps. And I know I'm going against everything that every junior high and high school and college football player has ever been told by his coach, but you know, professional football is what these guys are trying to accomplish. And if you go out and get a knee injury tonight and have to rehab for the next 6 to 8 months, you've wasted a lot of time trying to get ready for the NFL.
Talking to Paul Finebaum. Paul, you know, our perspective here as we watch in Nashville, you've got, you know, we've got an NFL team and an NHL team. Both, you know, you're trying to bob and weave through this new wave of COVID cases that are going around. And, you know, in almost all the cases for the players, of course, maybe you get mildly sick. But it seems like that's part of the strategy now. I see Michigan is going to take their entire team for a booster shot. You just would like to have your whole team for these huge playoff games coming up. I would think that that's something that's got to be top of mind for every coach.
It is, and you know, I'm glad to see Michigan get with the program. I'm not sure it's going to help. I'm not trying to sound like an epidemiologist, but
right.
You need about 7 to 14 days to get full value of a booster, and that game is 9 days away. So it's better
late than never,
nothing,
I guess, right?
Yeah, and I think we all deal with it. I frankly think the game plan of professional sports and college sports is probably the right one right now. It's just deal with it, and we're all guilty. I mean, I walked in a room the other night. I was emceeing a banquet, 600 people, no mask, and I'm thinking, I sure hope this vaccine works. And, you know, I'm still here. So I don't know what else we can do. I'm not trying to make a political comment here, but we've all heard political leaders and the Faucis of the world tell us the same thing ad nauseum. And people, let's be honest, are not listening. I mean, you either want to get vaccinated or you don't. You have your specific reasons, and good for you. That's your decision, and I think college athletics is taking the same approach, that we've seen shut down. We're not doing it. The NFL has threaded the needle very nimbly. I still watched the games last night and Monday night, even though three of them were delayed, and it didn't really seem to affect anything.
Yeah, I guess where I'm coming from, if I'm a coach, is regardless of how you feel about the whole thing, if somebody tests positive on your team, you can't play, right? So how do I try to get through there? I guess I'm not 100% sure what the protocols are, for each individual team, Paul, because I think that's the thing.
I don't think there are any protocols right now. I understand what you're saying.
How do I keep my guys from getting tested? Like, do I only test if they're sick? How often do I have to test? These are all the questions, because that, we've just seen the NHL go through it. You know, they were testing people twice a day, and the more you test, the more chances are that somebody's going to pop up positive, even if they're asymptomatic.
Yeah, and let's just throw a scenario out there. You think Nick Saban, you see Bryce Young next Thursday night in Dallas, sniffling. Do you think he's going to test him, or just say, Bryce, you okay? And Bryce,
what I'm asking, because if there's nothing mandatory, then that would suggest that, hey, that close to the game, you're not going to test unless you're told you have to test.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of players in major games probably COVID positive, and I think it's like when we were kids and you got in trouble, are you better off admitting it or just lumbering through it? And the only people that are, I mean, I know that what I'm about to say is crazy, but are you going to sacrifice your season to be truthful? And a year ago, it seemed far more serious. But today, everybody probably is doing it. I think about myself. I had a test the other about 2 weeks ago because I was not feeling well. I was about to go off to the SEC game, and I felt like I owed it to the people I was with. And fortunately, I was negative. But how many people are going to do that though?
Right.
I mean, they could have afforded not to have me. Alabama or Michigan or Georgia or all these teams can ill afford to miss their key players.
Right. If you have four teams and they all have four different sets of protocols, from a competitive standpoint, what does that mean? I mean, these are all questions that I just have. It's because in the NFL and the NHL, for example, the leagues we follow, it's the same for every team. Every team is under the same umbrella for protocols. So from a competitive standpoint, everybody's under the same rules. But that may not be the case in college, correct?
I think you're right, and I know we'll hear a lot of window dressing from the coaches, but I haven't heard anything that makes any one team do it. I think if you don't show signs, you're probably not going to test, and I think the same rules apply that have been in effect all year. Is if you're vaccinated and you're asymptomatic,
right,
then you're fine, whether you really are or not, but. I think we have such a high tolerance for COVID right now, where people. Listen, nobody wants to die from it. Nobody wants to be people are, but if you're in an asymptomatic situation, how in the world do you know?
Yeah, Paul, we're sitting here at Mercedes-Benz of Music City, owned by Nick Saban. Their game, and believe me, you know it when you come in here, okay? His presence is definitely felt. Does Cincinnati have any shot whatsoever, or is it blowout city?
It feels like a blowout, just like I felt like maybe we were trending toward one again with Georgia a couple weeks ago. That's the game that unnerves me a little bit because, can Alabama play why would Alabama play to that level again is my question. They've only done it one time this year in 13 games. They have not had that many really good games. They played well in the early game against Miami. They played pretty well against the Mississippi teams. But other than that, down the stretch, they were all over the place. And I think Cincinnati is very good. How does Cincinnati handle the stage? It's a big stage
mm-hmm.
for them.
Yep.
I know they went to Notre Dame, and that should absolve them of any concerns. Because that's not exactly going to a junior college for a road game. But I still think Alabama has so much experience in these games, SEC game, the game at the beginning of the season, all the past games they played in, and I know the players change, but Alabama will not be intimidated by that scene in Arlington on Friday. Will Cincinnati?
Yeah, that is the thing, Paul, and I'm with you. That's literally when I think about this game, I think of the initial part of the game because you're right. Okay, so they went to they went to South Bend and they played a road game and beat Notre Dame. That's great, and that's a good college football environment. There's no doubt about it. But when you walk into that place, Jerry's World, where I've been, it's a little overwhelming just walking in there and seeing, that spectacle that is that building. And then when you see that 80% of the fans in there is going to be, swarmed with, Alabama stuff, that's got to be a scene. And it's Alabama. Like, you already have that feeling. You already know what they're about. They're Goliath to begin with if you're Cincinnati. And then you see their fan base. You see the building. I do wonder how they'll handle that.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue this anyway, and you could also argue that, does Alabama take this game seriously? I don't know. I mean, in terms of intensity for a game, I would rank this one behind the Georgia game, the Auburn game, maybe another game or two on the schedule. I think Cincinnati is very good, but the thing that always concerns me about Cincinnati is that they don't play this schedule week to week. And you could argue that a lot of teams in the SEC this year were subpar. It was, I mean, there were, but Tennessee was a formidable opponent. LSU played quite well. Auburn, Ole Miss. Florida. I mean, Alabama has just gone through this gauntlet. Cincinnati has played. We can quit using Indiana as an example. We used that for too long. They played Notre Dame, and they played, Houston? Who else have they played?
You just named it. Well, there you go. You just hit it. Let's finish with this, since, once again, we're here at Mercedes-Benz of Music City, owned by Nick Saban. How has he been able to do this? I don't really think it's debatable. I don't know. I guess it depends on if somebody just really wants to argue. I think when it's all said and done, I mean, it's really not even going to be debatable as the best ever. So how has he been able to do this when most people would also argue that it's tougher under this landscape, right? It's tougher, not to take anything away from all the other legends and greats of decades past, but I don't think you can really argue the fact that it's also harder in today's college football landscape. How has he been able to stay at this level this long?
Well, I think it started from the very beginning. He went to a place that was traditionally great, but had been all over the place because of chaos and dysfunctionality. And he literally laid his hand down day one, saying, "I run this place. I don't want to hear from boosters. I don't want to hear from anybody else." And he went from booster group to booster group using strong language. So he got control of the program. And then he built a great infrastructure. I know that you can say, well, this happens everywhere. Well, he's been there now since 2007, and he made Alabama great again. He built a staff that you wanted to be a part of. He lengthened the staff by bringing in analyst after analyst, which helps. I mean, when you bring in former head coaches, whether it's Butch Jones or Sarkisian was an analyst, or any of these guys, you have fresh eyes that can pick up little things to help you win big games. And I think he's been somewhat fortunate in the SEC that Tennessee has not been a factor during this period. Florida, after Urban left, has been all over the place. The reason I bring those up, those are East opponents where you have to beat them at the end of the year. And Georgia's been Georgia, okay? I mean, they show up in the final game and then find some way to blow it, like they did in 2012 and like they did here. I think that's part of it. I mean, the national scene's been good. Clemson has been a formidable opponent. They've lost to them twice. There have been other programs, but ultimately, he's won 6 national championships at Alabama. He's lost in 2 other title games. I mean, that's just remarkable in and of itself that he's been to 8 championship games, and then he got knocked out of the playoffs in the first year. That's one. So that's 9 playoff appearances. We're celebrating Jim Harbaugh for making one. and I mean that is, you know, the consistency of. I think it's just been you know, the fact that he's been an underdog twice since 2009. I know I'm giving you a lot of the greatest hits, but you know, and I think the most remarkable thing is he stayed there. Nobody thought he would stay there when he arrived in 2007. Nick Saban had always bailed out of places, and I think Alabama caught him at the right time of his life, where he was in his 50s into his 60s, and now he's 70, and he realized, why do I need to keep moving?
Mm. Good stuff, as always. We always enjoy these visits on Wednesdays. Merry Christmas to you and yours, Paul, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas.
Paul Feinbaum, brought to you every week by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We're here live at Mercedes-Benz of Music City, 734 MVS Lane. By the way, we did have a listener stop by and ask if we would take a cash donation. We will take. We've got envelopes here. We will take cash donations, and what we'll do is we'll use that money to go out and purchase these items that we'll be using to give out Christmas morning. So thank you so much for that, Mike, who stopped by and gave a very generous cash donation. So we'll be here until 2:00 this afternoon. Good stuff there from Paul. We'll come back more on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. We're here live at Mercedes-Benz of Music City, 734 Envious Lane. If you could stop by and help out, be greatly appreciated. Brand new socks, gloves, knit hats, coats, larger sweatshirts, preferably darker colors. All that will help us Christmas morning. Really, really appreciate it. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. We're waving right now. Hi. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry.
There's a very nice car behind you.
Yes, there is.
An old Mercedes.
There's a lot of nice cars all around us.
Well, yes.
Just saying.
The vintage one is pretty cool. So,
no doubt. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Does anybody think Cincinnati has a chance? Can it even be a game? Is it going to be a blowout?
I mean, I think they have a chance. It's just, you know, they're going to have to get on them early. Like, there's no, I don't see Cincinnati winning, you know, a close game necessarily. I think they're going to have to set the tone really early. And I just don't know if you can do that.
I think they're underdogs for a reason. I think they're probably going to need Alabama to be a little bit off.
Or a lot off.
Well, yeah, you need some breaks. That's how upsets happen. But I'm not going to rule it out. I think Cincinnati's good enough to make it a game. If they come in razor sharp and play a great game, they've been told all year long and really their entire existence that, you know, you're not as good as these teams. You're not supposed to beat these teams. I would be using that as much as I could to try to get my team to that point where they can just play their best game and see what happens.
I think the matchup that they really wanted and what would have been a better game for them is Michigan. I think they would have matched up better with Michigan. But they got
Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pressure on Michigan.
Oh, I think
as opposed
a ton
to Cincinnati. To me, if Cincinnati goes in and gets whitewashed, you know, and gets ripped, everybody, you know what they're going to say. Cincinnati's really got nothing to lose. Although, you know, if you're carrying a torch for the non-Power Fives, maybe that adds some pressure. But Michigan's the one that they've been waiting for this for a long time. You've got to come in there and play a good game. You've got to have a good showing if you're Michigan. It's not gonna leave a good taste in their fan base's mouths if you go in there and lay an egg, I think. Whereas Cincinnati, you can say, well, we were the first team to make it. You know, we were the ones that made it when nobody else could from the non-Power Fives. There's an achievement there. Making the playoffs for Michigan is only somewhat of an achievement. You know, you're there, but your fan base, you know, they think you should be just as good as anybody you play.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like about time that you got there. So I think there's more pressure on Michigan to play well.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, if Michigan had not been in a position to get to the playoff and beaten Ohio State, then they're riding the high of, hey, they beat Ohio State, and Harbaugh finally did it, and that's their victory, that's their championship. But the fact that they were in a position to get into the playoff, you know, if they go and just get throttled by Georgia, which I think there's a good chance of that, then they're going to sit there and the Ohio State victory just doesn't mean anything. You know, I think the disappointment would
be there. It would hurt. Now, you know, I think on that, you might say that, but the reality is beating Ohio State, I hope.
Yeah, it's
a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
But it's still kind of like it's about time.
Coaches get fired because they can't beat the other school in that rivalry game.
Sure, I understand that.
Ask Cooper, John Cooper.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. But it's also
he literally got fired because he couldn't beat Michigan.
But there's a little bit – I really still feel like there's a percentage of those Michigan fans like, well, it's about time. We should be in this thing
more.
We should be beating Ohio State more often. So finally, we beat them. That does mean something for sure. But now let's turn it into something. I'm probably more intrigued about Michigan than any other team in the field here.
How the Michigan-Georgia game?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's
– just Michigan – just how Michigan plays. Win or lose, I just want to see how they play. It's also going to be interesting for Georgia to come back after, you know, they've been told all year long this could be a team for the ages, a dominating team. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, you get humbled a little bit. How do you bounce back? How do you respond from that?
Is that line about right to you, 7.5?
It's a little bit higher than I thought.
I was kind of thinking six and a half.
Six and a half is kind of what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it tells me the odds makers, they're pretty smart. They're begging you to take Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's telling
me. They're giving you the hook.
They're giving you the hook to beg you to take Michigan.
Yep. But I think
it's the dangle. It's what I do in pick six. They're giving you the hook, and Willie's staring at that hook going, oh, 7.5? Ooh. And Willie's not paying attention to what's over on the other side.
Sure.
He's just staring at the 7.5, that extra hook. And I think that's what they want you to do. And Willie's going, he's trying to grab it. And they're like, go ahead, take Michigan.
That's
what it tells me.
I could be being the SEC snob here, though, but I see Georgia's defense. I just don't see a Michigan offense that can do what Alabama's offense did in that championship game. If you don't bring it to the table against Georgia's defense, you're not going to score.
No.
Like they
and
can,
you know
they literally shut
they're
going
to be extremely motivated after the SEC championship
game. I would think so.
They will be.
Now, I'm just going to say this. I don't know what the protocols are, but the wild card in this between now and kickoff is what are the protocols? Because there's this wave is going through, whether people like it or not. We see it. We saw the Rams play last night with a lot of players out.
Mm-hmm.
Washington play with a lot of players out. That is going to happen.
By the way, who is starting a quarterback for them?
Garrett Gilbert.
I had to look.
No, who?
He was the guy on Hard Knocks with DiNucci that he was one of the backup quarterbacks for the Cowboys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
They focused on Ben DiNucci more.
He got there on Wednesday.
That was to say, I don't remember him.
He was in there some. It was more Ben DiNucci. But yeah, he got there on Wednesday. He got signed off. I think he was on Dallas's practice squad. Maybe.
I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
I mean, I can read the name. I mean, I know the name. I can read his name. I just don't know who he is. I'm like, who is it?
Well, the bottom line is he got there on Wednesday, and he's quarterbacking a very important game for them last night.
Which is the same for the Browns. I mean, this
is
going to ultimately –
the third-string quarterback.
It's ultimately going to probably cost some teams playoff spots because they got popped with all this.
And that's my point with these semifinal and final games. It is going to affect these four teams on some level. You have to hope.
Well, you haven't heard anything to this point. Not a peep.
Well,
right?
JT Daniels is in the COVID.
Well, but nobody's been ruled out, right?
It's too early now. You're still in a window where you could get it and then come back.
Right. Okay, that's fair.
If you're vaccinated, you're back in 10 days. So now we're sort of in the window to where if cases pop up, you're in jeopardy.
The 22nd, so we're how many days away?
The 31st.
You're right, nine days away.
The next few days are very, very important between now and kickoff. And so I think if you're a coach, this is what's keeping you up at night is how do you, what are the protocols? What do you tell your team? Right? Do you almost sequester your team to be careful? Because it's just so easily passed on right now, even for the vaccinated players. That's the trick.
Garrett Gilbert played at Texas and SMU. And then he's been
sure.
And then he's been a journeyman, basically.
I just was watching. I was just like, I'll be honest.
Well, Clemson had to play without a couple key players last year, right? Including their defensive coordinator.
Well, last year's different than
last year was different than this year.
I'm not comparing anything to last year. I'm saying right. This year.
Yes, but just look around. Look at the NBA. Look at the NHL. Look at the NFL.
Yeah,
it's
no,
happening.
It's happening.
So if I'm a coach, I got to be ready for that. I have to try to do what I can. And you still, if it gets in your walls, as we've seen with the Predators,
I mean,
it's going around. You're going to get positives.
I just saw Adam Schefter's tweet that there are 19 members of the New York Jets that are currently on the COVID list.
Including their coach.
Yeah.
Salah.
Yep.
Just tested positive.
Yep. So they have a lot. So, you're right.
So like, the line that is on the game now for the college semifinals,
it could change.
Subject to change.
Oh, I mean, if you followed the Raiders-Browns line throughout the course of the week leading up to the game eventually on Monday.
Oh.
It was – you talking about all over the place. That was a roller coaster ride.
Yes.
Browns by 4. Browns by 2. Pick 'em. Raiders by 1.5. Raiders by 3.5. Raiders by 4. Raiders by 1. Browns by 2.5. Oh, and finally, yes, it's not going to be Baker Mayfield. Yes, it's not going to be Case Keenum. Raiders by 2.5. I mean, it was every day. It was like you didn't have a clue who was going to be favored in that game.
So if you're Nick Saban, you're Kirby Smart, you're Jim Harbaugh, what do you tell your team?
Well, I take my star players, and if I'm Nick Saban, I take them to the lake house, and I tell them to stay
lock
there.
Lock them in there?
You can use the boat, but stay in the lake house and don't leave. We'll Uber eat you some food. That's what I do.
It's real.
No, it's totally real. But, I mean, honestly, like, if I'm one of the –
I mean, you can't make up these games.
If I'm one of these four head coaches, I am preaching that hard to my players, and – what should worry you the most is the next few days.
Yes.
Because they're going to go home and they're in family.
Right. And you're in the window that you can't come back. Unless the protocol – and that's the other – that's why I asked the question to Paul about what are the protocols for coming back if you test positive. Are you asymptomatic? Are you vaccinated? All these things. How many times can you test out of it? Do you have at least some hope if you test positive that you can be back by – and cleared by the 31st? And are the protocols going to be changed? The NHL made their announcement today that they're bagging the Olympics. We all knew that was coming. But then the next question is, are they going to adjust the protocols like the NFL has? The NFL adjusted the protocols, and you just saw what the Jets did. It still may not keep you from having a problem.
Yeah, I haven't really seen much of a change yet.
Oh, look at the Chiefs right now. They're getting
buried.
Buried. Yeah, I mean, the only name that I haven't seen that
Travis Kelce,
you go, wow,
and Tyreek Hill.
Is Mahomes.
Tyreek Hill.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Hill and Kelce are on that list, along with others.
They have to play without those two guys.
We're about to. I'm curious to see what that looks like.
If I'm being totally honest, it was hard for me to – last night just really wasn't
– it's tough.
It was – I just was like, oh, man. You got to want Washington, Philadelphia. And with that lineup, those lineups, especially Washington, it's like, man, you had to have fantasy implications or something on the line. Gambling.
Don't even bring up fantasy.
We had fantasy implications in the Rams game and that
– Cooper Kupp. He's my least favorite player in the league
right now.
Cooper
Kupp.
He killed us.
Yeah, did you
destroy?
Did you know that? Did you notice that?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Yeah. Willie and I had a very nice lead going into last night, and Cooper Kupp destroyed that.
Cooper Kupp did Cooper Kupp stuff.
Yeah. He single-handedly beat us.
You know what else hurt us? And I don't think it would have been that big of a difference. We still would have lost, but the Bears scoring the touchdown on the last play of the game
against
the Vikings. We have the Vikings D. they would have gotten through the game without giving up a touchdown.
Points.
We lost a few points on that.
Well, we left Kirk on the bench. He had 15.
I can't really look at that stuff.
I can't look back at that. We had good decisions.
Yeah, Cup had 28.5 points.
Cooper Cup, 28.5 points.
136 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He killed us. He ended our season.
And what's even funnier about that is who we were playing had the Seahawks defense. So he kind of cannibalized himself with that, but we still lost. Mm.
Well, I'm not going to feel sorry for you because I lost too. So
that's all right. We're all losers together.
You finished second overall. So.
Yeah, we did.
So we came out. We do get something for that, right?
Yes.
By finishing.
Yeah. No, you get definitely something.
Okay.
Something really nice.
But we had a chance
something
for a
real nice. Get yourself something real nice.
Real
Clark.
Nice.
Get yourself
Clark.
A little something.
After you buy all the dog food, get yourself something real nice. It's about time to be popping in that movie. I haven't watched it yet this year.
I haven't either.
It's been on.
It's going to happen probably tomorrow. Yeah, but here's the deal. I can't watch that on, like, television because I got to see the real – I can't do this whole edited crap. Like, some of the one-liners –
It's got to be – right. It's got to be raw. You can't have it bleeped out or the horrible editing of filling in words, right? Because it sounds terrible. It's just
last week when we did our company party down in the den, they put it on. Now the sound was down, but I've seen it. Ryan and I have seen that movie so many times. Oh yeah.
Wait a minute. What? Ryan who?
Forth.
He actually watched a movie.
Ryan Porth has seen not only seen a movie, but he's seen it so many times.
Yes.
He can quote it.
Yes.
He's seen like 5 movies in his lifetime.
Christmas Vacation is one of them.
Wow. So now he's got to the point, he's seen like 5 movies in his lifetime, and he's got one that he can repeat the lines?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
This is a development.
It was the scene where Chevy Chase walks out of the garage like with the Jason mask and the chainsaw and – the neighbors have pulled up, and they say, you know, where are you going to put that?
One of my favorite scenes is because I feel like I've been there too many times is when Clark's at the eggnog bowl, and he's just melting down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ed, can I get you something? Refill your eggnog, take you out to the woods, leave you for dead. No, Clark, I'm good.
All right, we'll come back. We'll check in with our man Cameron Wolf. He's been in town this week covering the Titans 49ers matchup for NFL Network. We'll tell you what he's been up to, and we'll get him to preview this game tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium. We'll do that on the other side. But first, I'm going to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook. Yeah, the official sports betting partner of the NBA, and they've got a gift certainly that will get your attention and put you in the holiday spirit. New customers, listen up. You can bet $5, just $5 on any NBA team, and if they win, you win $150 in free bets. Yes, if they win, you win $150 in free bets off a $5 bet. All DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get in on the Christmas spirit with the holiday free bet surprise. Everyone will get a free bet up to $50 instantly as DraftKings gives away $10 million. Yes, they're going to give away $10 million. That's going to get you in the holiday spirit and prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME and bet just $5 on any NBA team to win. If they do so, you win $150 in free bets. Again, use that code 1025GAME this Christmas week at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.